Like to welcome the visitors this morning. We appreciate your presence very much. And one of the visitors said that he knows all about me. Well, I doubt that, but I know something about you. I really do know something about you that's really something you want to know too. What we're going to talk about this morning as we look at this will be talking about the resurrection of man. You're all going to be there. Isn't that something to think about? And we recognize that the resurrection from the dead is a Bible truth. On the lower right picture, you have the garden tomb, the picture of the garden tomb in Jerusalem, where it says, "He is not here, he's risen." The fact of the resurrection of Christ is what gives me the information about our own resurrection. We're all going to die. That's just one of the things of life. Death is a part of life, and I'm not morbid about that, just the fact that it's going to happen. But at the same time, the wonderful thing about it is that there's a resurrection, and this is your future. We're all going to do this. And we need to be aware of it and recognize what a blessing it can be, but beware, if we're not ready, it's not going to be a blessing. So the resurrection is something that's real. The resurrection is something that's going to happen. I don't know when. I'm not trying to set a date. God knows that. But we need to recognize this as well and think about it. Some don't prepare properly for the resurrection. Most people in the world today are just looking at what pleases them the most. Even have a picture here that might surprise you. This tomb has a thing out beside it that says they're trying to find the internet. And I know a lot of people live by the internet, but you're not going to have it after you die, that's for sure. And so I had to put that picture in there because it just shows how foolish some people really are. And of course, the Egyptians, when they used to bury their pharaohs in tombs, they would supply them with all kind of tools and weapons and beautiful things for the afterlife. Not a one of them ever used it. But they're going to be raised too one of these days. And so what we're talking about this morning is what happens to man at death. That's a reality. And so the question is answered in Ecclesiastes 12:7. The dust shall return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. This takes us back to Genesis 1, where man was made from the dust of the earth. And then also to the fact that it's going to die. Once Adam and Eve committed their transgressions, they were taken away from the Garden of Eden. They had no access to the Tree of Life. I've mentioned a number of times, there was a preacher by the name of W.W. Oddy, a wonderful man. Some of his sermons remain, but he wrote a book called The Tree of Life, Lost and Regained. And he mentioned the fact that the Bible says the Tree of Life was replanted in heaven. So whatever way God wants us to feast on the Tree of Life, it's going to be there available for those who are raised in the love of Christ. So Jesus revealed the habitation of the immortal spirits of the dead. When Jesus died, he went into Hades. And we're going to look a little bit more at that in just a moment. Hades is not hell. Sometimes the King James uses the word hell instead of Hades. But Hades is the unseen abode of the dead. We leave our bodies behind in the grave. Our spirit returns to God who gave it, and it goes to Hades. Hades has two sides to it that's divided by a great gulf, we're told in the Luke chapter 16. And the righteous go into paradise, or Abraham's bosom, and the unrighteous go into torment, which is another side, and there's a great gulf between the two. One cannot travel from one to the other. Now, some religious doctrines talk about the fact of purgatory, and that you'll have some temporary punishment, and then you're going to paradise. That's not in the Bible. When you die, you know your eternal destiny, but we're not going to know it for sure until we finally get to the judgment day, and that's going to come. And so in Luke chapter 16, Jesus revealed at the death of Lazarus how we are going to understand what takes place. And we are aware, it's not that we just cease to exist, as some religions teach. Your spirit will never die. From now on, you're going to live somewhere. And we need to be aware of that and what a great opportunity is for that spirit to be prepared to go to heaven. So in Luke 16, the rich man died and was buried. The Bible says that Lazarus was transported by angels, his spirit was, over to paradise. And the rich man was crying for his brothers. He didn't want his brothers to come to this place of torment. That's where he was. The fact of the matter is that you continue to know, but after you die, you can't change anything. You carry your record with you to the judgment day. And the record is what you've done and the choices that you've made. So Luke 16 explains that very carefully. Again, there are two places, torment. The Greek word is tartarus, or torment, and then paradise. And Jesus called it Abraham's bosom. The righteous cannot fall from grace after death, nor can the wicked be saved. When you die, that's it. Well, now, the point is you're still living today. And so you need to be very careful that you're making the right choices about which place you're going to at the time of your death, because we're going to die. And so we need to recognize that. Here's a chart that has been very popular. I know that it's very complex in some ways, but I'd like to talk about it just for a moment as we look at the idea of death in the beginning when we die. We have on the left side two parts of man. You have spirit and the body, and at the death, the righteous go into paradise, and the unrighteous goes into the grave, or is tartarus, or torment. And then you have, of course, in the grave, you just turn to dust. Dust you are, dust you're going to return. Now there's going to be a resurrection. Everybody is going to participate in it. Every one of us is, this is going to happen to me. It's going to happen to you. And so at the resurrection then, the next step is the judgment day. But we have premillennial people who believe that the kingdom hasn't come yet, and that after Jesus comes back, he's going to establish the kingdom on earth and reign on earth 1,000 years. The Bible says nothing about that. And so after the resurrection, we're going to appear at the great throne of God and we'll then be judged. And there's many scriptures there. I won't attempt to read all of those. That'd take me till midnight tonight, probably. But the idea is then after the judgment, the righteous go to heaven. And the unrighteous are spent an eternity in hell. Matthew 25 talks about that and says that the eternal punishment is the same as the eternal reward. So it's not that somebody is simply going to be in hell for a while. You're going to be there for an eternity. And man, that should explode your head if you hadn't thought about it. And you say, wait a minute, I want to do something about that. Well, now's the time. The Bible says today is the day of salvation if you harden not your heart. And so the realization that every one of us is going to be there is something for us to really consider. I can make some of those charts later if somebody would like to have one in their possession. Well, what shall be raised from the dead? Well, not the spirit. The spirit does not die. What is in you? Your sense of identity. Your sense of reality that this is me. It's not going to ever fade. You're going to recognize who you are even in the when your spirit's in Hades, one place or the other. Spirit's not going to die. The question was asked a long time ago. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the Apostle Paul has quite a bit to say about death and the resurrection. So turn to 1 Corinthians 15. I want to begin reading with verse 35. And this is the inspired word. This is not my opinion. This is what the Bible says is going to take place. Verse 35, beginning. Someone will say, how are the dead raised up, and with what body do they come? Now, both the Corinthian church and the Thessalonica church had problems about the resurrection. Some in Thessalonica were saying the resurrection's already over, and Paul condemned that because it hadn't happened yet. The Corinthians were having some lack of faith about, how's God going to give me another body? And he makes an argument about that. He said, verse 36, foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. What you sow, you do not sow the body that shall be, but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there's one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another fish, another birds. His argument here is, why do you lack faith that I can give you a body when I've made all these other bodies? He's made the celestial, he's made the terrestrial, he's made animals and birds and fish. Why is your faith so shallow? So that applies to us too. I'm not going to worry about what kind of body. The second Corinthian letter, chapter 5, talks about the fact that while we live in this tent, or this physical body, the Bible calls it a tent, it houses my spirit. And the fact of the matter is that when I die, my spirit doesn't have a body. It's just empty, it's a spirit. But Paul says we long not to be naked, but to be clothed upon. And God has another body that he's going to clothe us with that's suited to heaven. Now this body is suited to here. We walk, we talk, we feel things, we work. Our body is suited for this environment. That's what's going to be in heaven. I don't know what all we're going to be doing in heaven, but it's going to be pleasant and we'll have a body suited. But now here's a word that I want to warn you about. I don't know of any passage that says the unrighteous are given another body. And what the Bible does say about that is that when the unrighteous go into torment, it's where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Well, where the worm does not die means you're in corruption. That's what happens to the physical body. Now, Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5 that I'm going to have another body suited for heaven. And I'm eager to get that. Aren't you?
Yes.
The idea, well, I don't want to be clothed in a body of corruption forever. And so that's an incentive. If you're not living right, get right. If you're not serving the Lord, start serving the Lord. If you haven't become a Christian, become a Christian. Those are the things that are so important. And that question, what kind of body, that's been answered a long time ago. Before a seed can produce a living plant, it must die. And the plant which grows does not resemble the seed. I don't know what kind of body will be raised, but we're going to be given a body. And that's enough for me. You know, I've trusted God all my life, and I don't intend to stop trusting Him now. And so, if he could create this body, he'd create another body. And it's going to be better than this one, I can assure you. So we know these things. And what kind of body will men have at the resurrection? Again, it's going to be a body fit for eternal habitation. It's going to be something suited for heaven. And whatever we're going to do in heaven, we're going to be able to do it. Because I'm going to have a body that is fit for that. And the nature of the resurrected body is that it's going to be a spiritual body, but it's going to be clothed with whatever body God wants us to have. And in Genesis 1 and 2, when he talks about creating man and woman, he created them in the image of God. Now, the New Testament, Romans chapter 12, says us we're not to be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. So as we live the life of a Christian, as we live the life that God wants us to live, we're getting ready for heaven. You know, I know some people that wouldn't be happy in heaven. I know some people wouldn't know what to do in heaven. They don't sing here. They don't pray here. They don't assemble with the saints here. Why would they be happy assembling with the saints in heaven when they never show up in the physical body? You know, people need to think about these things. We're making choices, and these choices have eternal consequences. They're determining right now where I'm going to spend eternity. And I tell you what, we talked this morning in class. Brother Terry was teaching the class this morning about being anxious. I'm anxious about that. I'm excited about it. And I'd like for you to think on these things and to recognize what a beautiful future we have if we're children of God. And we all can be. And so our physical body can't inherit heaven. Paul said the flesh and blood cannot go to heaven. Well, that sort of takes care of Mary, doesn't it? And the Catholic Church says that she was assumed bodily into heaven. Well, it's the Catholic Church or Paul, whichever one you want to believe. And the idea is that somebody bodily went to heaven, it's not suited for heaven. And so we don't have to worry about that. Mary was a blessed woman. I'm not worried about her hereafter. And we don't worship Mary, but we admire her because Jesus picked his own mother. You know, not everybody can say that. But he picked his own mother, and she was a godly woman. So one of these days, I'd like to meet Mary. I'd like to thank her for her contribution to our salvation. There's so many things to think about like that. So if we're alive now when Jesus returns, maybe I'm not going to die after all. It may be, and we don't know when change will come, but we're told that will not precede those who are dead. But when Jesus comes back, those alive will be joined with those who have been raised from the dead. We'll all go to the judgment day together. And I think I'm going to be worried about me, so you be worried about you. Because everybody's going to be there. They're not, you know, I had a funeral a number of years ago in North Carolina. This man's daughter died. And he was so drunk, he came to the funeral late. You think, somebody's late for the funeral? Well, you're not going to be late for the judgment day, even though you're drunk. So we need to be prepared for that day and to recognize that we'll be there and we'll be in our right mind and we'll know what's going on. So you look at these things, not just the righteous are going to be raised. The Bible tells us all are going to be raised. In John chapter 5, verse 29, all that are in the graves will hear his voice and come forth. Now, I've talked about this a number of times. We have some brethren that say that the resurrection's already happened and that the judgment is already over. Well, I keep asking them, when did the trumpet blow? I hadn't heard the trumpet blow yet. The Bible says everybody's going to hear the trumpet. And every eye shall see him. And I haven't seen Jesus yet. Man, I'm looking forward to that. You think about meeting Jesus. I think about sometimes I'd like to shake Paul's hand. Paul was so far above me in zeal and things. I really admire Paul. I can identify better with Peter because he made a few mistakes. But I'd like to shake their hand or whatever spirits do and to think about that. So it's not just the righteous, but all are going to be raised. And the guarantee of the resurrection is Jesus Christ. If you don't believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ, you're going to be so disappointed because you're going to see him. He really was raised from the dead. Acts 17:30 talks about that as Paul was in Athens. And the resurrection of Christ is our proof that we're going to be raised too. And Paul talked about that. He said, if Christ is not raised, we're of all people most pitiable. And that would be true. Because I'm talking about how thrilled I'm going to be and how thrilled you'll be at the judgment day when there's not going to be one. But there is. And you know why? Because we have the history of God keeping his word. You go back to the time of Noah. Noah preached for 120 years and people didn't believe him. And they died. But God kept his word. And the same thing is true with Sodom and Gomorrah. God kept his word. Now when I look at the degradation of our nation, the hatred that is here, the wickedness that is here, I've mentioned enough about abortion and all those kinds of things. God doesn't overlook that. The Bible says, be sure your sins will find you out. I don't know what's going to happen to America in the future. I'm really worried about my grandchildren. I think they're going to face things that we don't want to face. But we'll be gone, and so we have to recognize that Jesus Christ is the historical proof that God always keeps his word. And we understand that. So if we believe in the resurrection, it ought to affect how we live, shouldn't it? If you really believe in the resurrection, nothing will stop you from living right. If you really believe in the resurrection, you're going to do what Jesus says to do. Now, if Jesus walked through the door today, as he was alive on earth, just before he left, he said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Do you believe that? That's the words of Jesus. Now, a lot of denominations will tell you that baptism is not important. But 1 Peter 3:21, Peter said that baptism doth now also save us. And the denominations say that baptism does not save us. They just changed one letter. But which do you believe? And I'm going to ask you, if you're looking for the resurrection and be on the right side, have you been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins? That's the will of Jesus. You go to the book of Acts. If you've never really read the book of Acts, it's a book of conversions. And when you see the apostles and the evangelists of the first century preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, they all preach baptism for the remission of sins. Now, understand that baptism is not a church ritual. Baptism is a reenactment of what Jesus did for us. He died and was buried and was raised for our salvation. Baptism, you're buried in water. You're not sprinkled. You're buried in water. You rise to walk in newness of life because your sins have been forgiven. That's what the Bible teaches. That's what the first century church practiced. And in our desire to be right with God, that's what we teach. That's what we practice. Every member of this congregation has been baptized into Christ for the remission of their sins. And if you want to be right in the resurrection, you'll not put it off. This is not Church of Christ doctrine, people. This is the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us that that Philip was an evangelist. In Acts 8, he was told by God to go and join himself to a chariot of the Ethiopian eunuch who had been to Jerusalem to worship. And as he came up to the chariot, he saw that the Ethiopian was reading from Isaiah 53, which is a prophecy of the sufferings of Jesus. And Philip joined himself, and he said, do you understand what you read? And he said, how can I unless some man guide me? As they went on the way, the scripture says, he preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on the way, the Ethiopian said, here's water. What does hinder me from being baptized? Well, how did he know about that? The only way that he knew about that is when you preach Jesus, you preach baptism. You can't preach Jesus without preaching baptism because Jesus taught it. And every inspired apostle taught it. One of the greatest things, I'd love to have been there. I think about it a lot. 3,000 people were baptized in one day in Acts 2. It's so seldom that we see somebody baptized today. The world's gone crazy. People are not listening. People are not reading their Bible. We're still going to preach the old Jerusalem gospel. What we preach is 2,000 years old, but it's still the will of God. And so we say to you in a very sincere way that if you haven't been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, you're lost. Won't that sink in? On that chart, which place would you be if you meet God unprepared? And it's something to really think about. And I'm so thrilled by the idea of the resurrection, because many years ago, I confessed Jesus Christ as my Savior. I repented of my sins and I was baptized into Christ. I've never regretted that. Now you talk about regret. I think the deepest regret that will ever be will be at the judgment day when somebody says, you know, I heard the gospel preached and I had an opportunity to obey the gospel and I didn't do it. And the regret, oh, the regret will be so deep because you're so close to salvation. And like the Roman ruler, you put it off because you say, well, a more convenient time. I'll do that a more convenient time. But that's going to affect how we live. If there's no resurrection, we might as well live like we please. And that's what most of the world's doing because they don't understand the resurrection. So that's why I'm preaching about it this morning. In contrast to the wicked, the righteous believe in the resurrection. Again, 1 Peter 15 and 2 Peter chapter 3, Peter the Apostle talked about it, what's going to happen to the world. This old building, if it's still around, is going to be burned. The ground under us is going to be burned. The whole world is going to be consumed in fire. And that'll be the end of the world. But God's prepared a new heaven and a new earth, and that's where we'll be. So belief in the resurrection does provide comfort. Because the Apostle Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, and he talked about that, and he said, comfort one another with these words. So if you're having a hard time in life, and things don't go right, and you feel a sense of desperation, it's going to pass. As the poet said, this too shall pass. Eternity won't pass. It's the most important thing you'll ever think about. And it's worth every minute that we give to it. Resurrection removes the sting of death. I've been with my mother when she died. I was holding her hand. I was holding my father when he died. I had a handicapped brother. He was a wonderful man and faithful Christian. I was holding his hand when he died. I've seen death. And I've been in the hospital room with Christians when they die. And it's a wonderful thing. My brother was so handicapped he couldn't walk well. And the moment he died, I thought, he could fly with the angels. It was such a wonderful thing. What a relief it was to know that his... When he was young, kids teased him. You talk about bullying. Oh, they teased him because he couldn't speak plain. They teased him because he would stumble and fall. And all those things would happen to him. And when he died, the resurrection is going to change it all. And the fact that he left that handicapped body and entered into paradise. And I fully believe that. I'm not just saying that. And so the resurrection of man is something that I'm talking to you about. There are two choices, a spiritual body in heaven, where the worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. Now, I can't explain it any further than that. I don't know. But I know which side I want to be on. That's not a question in my mind. And I'm ready to live for the Lord until I die. Isn't that what you want? If there's someone here this morning who hasn't been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins, why put it off? We have no promise of tomorrow. I remember reading years ago about a preacher that was holding a funeral. And he said, we never know who's going to be next. And he dropped dead of a heart attack. And it happens. You know, it does. And so I appeal to you this morning with eternity in mind. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, if you don't believe in Jesus Christ, I urge you to believe in Jesus. I urge you to repent of your sins. I urge you to confess the name of Christ. Jesus said, if you refuse to confess my name, I will not confess your name before the angels of heaven. But he will if you're a Christian. And he taught, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That is so plain. It's not complicated. You don't have to be a NASA scientist to understand that Jesus made it possible for everybody to go to heaven. If you're responsible and you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ today, we'll help you every way that we possibly can, because we're going to the resurrection. Will you come while we stand together and sing the invitation song?
I wander far away from God. Now I'm coming home. The path of sin too long I've trod. Lord, I'm coming home. Coming home, coming home.
And your good listening this morning. I appreciate that as well. It may be that there's some of these things that hasn't been made clear. I'm available for home Bible studies. I love to come to people's home and sit around the coffee table and just study the Bible. So if you have any questions like that or wish to study, I'm available all the time. So nothing gives me greater pleasure than to be able to study the Word of God with someone. We'll meet again tonight at 5 o'clock for another worship day. This is still the Lord's Day, and we'll meet at 5, and we'll study the Word of God again. Please remember the great number of our members that are sick, that are having difficulties of life, and keep them in your prayers. Have overlooked anything, we're so happy for the visitors. We're glad that you're here. Be sure and get acquainted with us before you leave. We're thankful for your presence. Let's bow for the closing prayer.
Father in heaven, we are so thankful for this day that we can assemble here in the name of your Son to worship you in spirit and in truth, to study from your holy and divine word. As we've studied this morning, Father, we know that the resurrection is coming. We pray that each and every one of us will make all the pertinent preparations in our lives, coming to you and repenting and being baptized, living a righteous life in your eyes. We're thankful for your word that gives us guidance and instruction, that exhorts and rebukes, that helps us, Father, to live as you would have us to live. We're thankful for your Son who was willing to leave his home in heaven, to come to this world and to live a perfect life and sacrifice that life on the cross. We pray, Father, we'll always hold that sacrifice near and dear to our hearts and do everything we can to uplift it and to be a model Christian that others will see it in us. We pray, Father, you would be with our sick again, care for them and strength, increase their strength, that they too might be with us again and continue the work that's going here. We pray, Father, for all the families that are helping them, that you would bless them. We pray, Father, for strength of faith, and most of all, for forgiveness of sins. Be with us now. We ask all this in your Son's name. Amen.
Amen.
Been here before. Our sister on the other side of the road, and this is our little website. And I'm just trying to open it. It's about Texas, actually. About Temple, Texas, right? About Temple, Texas. I'm from Texas. Yeah. So whenever we visit our sister, we always come by here. Yes, ma'am. I'm in the store. We originally got together and combined our churches and have one church. Yes, yes. We only have like about 30 or 42, I'd say.
This year, have you seen the
True soldiers. And I just kept praying that we should get this. I pray that we should get this. This is a wonderful thing to say.
So I started preaching one Sunday. We had five
baptized.
And they said, well,
we're not looking for you. You got it.
That was one of the best works we ever had. Because it was a military base. And we had a lot of people.
Never heard of it before.
Yeah,
I haven't been rooted from all my other stuff that's happened. It's been around a
while. You can see it.
So it's, I look back on those days. I had all the Bible studies I could have. I finally quit on Saturday night because they built a one in the
And you had to open one in the
So that was out of Newport, North Carolina.
To make sure everything is perfect.
And then we had a group of people.
And I think it's just one of those things.
It's still
going to be.